When you picture a corporate cybersecurity setup today, you probably imagine this massive high-tech fortress.
Oh, absolutely. Moats, lasers, the whole deal.
Right. We're talking reinforced titanium front gates, biometric scanners, AI-driven behavioral analysis, guards pacing the walls. I mean, it looks completely impenetrable to you and me.
Yeah, it's the absolute state-of-the-art defense. Companies are spending, millions to protect their newest digital assets.
But then you walk around to the back of this billion-dollar fortress, and tucked away behind some overgrown bushes is this this old, rusted wooden door from 1995.
Yeah.
The hinges are falling off, and not only is it unlocked, but the security guards completely forgot it was even there just because it's so embedded in the architecture they walk past it every single day.
It's the classic blind spot. We spent all our budget on the front gate and completely ignore the rusted hinges out back.
Which brings us to the ultimate paradox in modern cybersecurity, and well, the focus of today's deep dive. Right now, CISOs are spending those millions defending their brand new AI deployments while threat actors are literally walking into their networks through a zip utility from a decade ago.
It's a really wild spectrum of threats.
It really is. So our mission today is to cut through the noise and deliver a concise, high-impact cybersecurity briefing for you. We're doing a deep dive into three critical sources that perfectly illustrate this contrast. We're going to unpack the forgotten legacy software, the bleeding-edge AI middleware vulnerabilities, and the zero days targeting the one tool we all use every single minute of the day.
The contrast really is fascinating. I mean, attackers are weaponizing the very old and the very new at the exact same time.
Okay, so let's unpack this rusted backdoor first. Our first source centers around a campaign targeting Ukrainian organizations. And, we need to be clear right up front. While the geopolitical context here is obviously complex and ongoing, our focus today is strictly impartial. We are just reporting on the threat intelligence and breaking down the technical mechanics of the code itself.
Right, because the code doesn't care about the politics, but it definitely cares about unpatched utility programs.
Exactly. We're not endorsing any viewpoints, just looking at the facts. And the program in question here is WinRAR. It's, one of those file extraction utilities that's just been around forever. People install it to unzip files and then never look at it again.
Yeah, it just sits there on the hard drive.
Right. And this specific vulnerability is a path traversal flaw. Now, here's the real aha detail from the timeline. This flaw was patched by WinRAR back in July 2025. But according to the threat intel, the exploit chain remained actively used in the wild through at least April 2026.
So, nearly a year later, that really highlights the danger of unmanaged legacy software. I mean, it keeps an exploited entry point wide open long after the vendor has actually shipped the fix.
Because nobody's checking it.
Exactly. Utility software like this usually doesn't have an auto-update feature constantly nagging you, so it just sits there,
Yeah.
silently vulnerable.
So I have to ask, how does a zip utility actually break into a network? The sources mention the attackers manipulate the file extraction process using something called NTFS Alternate Data Streams, or ADS. I mean, I've used Windows my whole life, and I have never heard of an alternate data stream. What is that?
It's a bit obscure, yeah. Think of a file on your computer as a physical envelope. Usually you look inside the envelope to read the letter. That's your standard data, like a Word document, a picture, or whatever it is.
Okay, makes sense.
But the NTFS file system, which Windows uses, allows you to write hidden messages on the inside lining of that physical envelope.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, most standard tools and certainly average users only see the main letter. They don't have the tools to see the data streams hidden alongside it.
That sounds like an absolute forensic nightmare.
It is a nightmare for defenders. The attackers use crafted RAR archives that contain a decoy document. Usually it's a normal-looking PDF that makes sense to the victim.
Wait, if I'm just double-clicking a normal PDF inside a zip file to open it, how is the archive actually infecting my machine without me seeing a prompt or a warning? Like, how is that physically happening?
What's fascinating here is the vulnerability itself. It's a path traversal flaw. When you tell WinRAR to extract the PDF to your downloads folder, the malicious archive basically says, sure, put the PDF in downloads, but also take these three hidden payloads, the alternate data streams, and secretly write them to completely different folders on the hard drive.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah. And one of those payloads is a Windows shortcut file, an LNK file, that gets strategically placed right into the Windows startup
Oh
folder.
man, so I double-click the PDF, I read the decoy document, everything looks fine. But tomorrow morning, when I turn my computer on and log in, the trap is sprung.
Exactly. The moment you log in, Windows sees that shortcut in the startup folder and automatically runs it. That shortcut spawns a PowerShell loader.
Right.
Now, to avoid leaving a messy trail on the hard drive that antivirus software might catch, this loader uses in-memory execution. Instead of dropping a traditional virus file onto the disk, it effectively injects the malware directly into the computer's temporary memory.
It's like a thief who never actually breaks a window. They just magically appear inside the house, do the robbery, and then vanish when the power is turned off.
That's a great way to picture it. And in this case, the thief is a malware called Gifted Crook.
Gifted Crook, yeah.
It's an information stealer. It goes straight for your credentials, targeting passwords and session cookies from browsers like Chrome and Firefox.
Right, the keys to everything.
Exactly. It also actively searches the hard drive for documents matching specific file extensions, packages them all up, and sends them out to an external server. Once it's done, it deletes its own forensic artifacts to cover its tracks.
Now, there is a really interesting operational detail here regarding where they send that stolen data. The sources highlight that these attackers recently shifted away from using Telegram as their exfiltration channel.
Right. They had to pivot.
Yeah. They had to build dedicated command and control servers instead. And the likely reason.
Yeah.
Russia blocked the Telegram messaging platform earlier in February.
It just shows how dynamic these campaigns have to be. Threat actors have to adapt their infrastructure based on environmental constraints, even when those constraints are implemented by their own geographic region's firewalls.
Now, there is a second group weaponizing this exact same WinRAR flaw, a group known as EarthDahu. And their approach seems to be built for the long haul.
Yeah, they are known for an industrial-scale effort to maintain long-term access to compromised organizations. They don't just want to steal passwords quickly and leave.
They want to move in.
Exactly. They use the WinRAR vulnerability to kick off an infection chain that relies heavily on native Windows scripting. Ultimately, they drop a downloader called GammaLoad. And GammaLoad is incredibly stubborn because it uses what are known as dead drop resolvers to find its command and control servers.
A dead drop resolver. I mean, that sounds like something out of a Cold War spy novel.
Mm.
How does that work for a piece of code?
Well, in a traditional attack, malware reaches out to a hard-coded IP address. But defenders can easily block that IP address once they spot it. So a dead drop resolver works differently.
Okay.
Imagine the malware is programmed to go to the comment section of a random, highly popular YouTube video, say, like a Britney Spears music video.
Wait, really?
Yeah. It looks for a specific comment left by the attacker, maybe a string of emojis, and decodes that comment to find the IP address of its actual home server for that specific day.
That is wild. They use a completely benign public location to hide the routing instructions.
It makes it incredibly difficult for defenders to block the communication, because you can't just block all of YouTube. This ensures the attackers maintain a continuous, deep foothold in the network to deploy further espionage modules over time.
And this all stems from a rusty utility program that people use to unzip files.
The forgotten backdoor.
So if your company is still treating utility software as an afterthought, this is your wake-up call. Unmanaged legacy software is a silent killer. Your patch management strategy cannot just be about major OS updates. If you have an environment where employees can just install a zip utility and forget about it for 5 years, you have a major vulnerability.
You really need to audit those machines. Find the utility software, patch it, or remove it.
So we've looked at how attackers exploit our blind spots with forgotten legacy software. I want to pivot now and look at how they apply that exact same malicious creativity to the exact opposite end of the spectrum. The brand new, rapidly deployed AI infrastructure that everyone is rushing to install right now.
Yeah, this is where the speed of business collides head-on with the speed of security. Companies are desperate to integrate large language models into their workflows, and they are moving incredibly fast.
The second story in our deep dive is about Berry AI's LitLM. CSO, the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, just added a flaw in LitLM to its known exploited vulnerabilities catalog. So they have evidence of active exploitation in the wild.
It's a major issue.
Yeah, it's a high-severity command injection flaw affecting versions up to 1.83.7. Let's start with the basics. What exactly is LitLM, and why is it sitting in a corporate network?
Think of LitLM as middleware. It's basically a traffic cop. If your company builds an internal application that needs to talk to OpenAI, Anthropic, and maybe a local AI model, it gets really messy to manage all those different API connections.
Right, that makes sense.
So LitLM sits in the middle. Your application talks to LitLM, and LitLM securely routes the request to the appropriate AI model, manages the budget, and handles the API keys.
Okay, so it simplifies the architecture. But the vulnerability centers around two specific endpoints that were used to preview something called an MCP server. What is an MCP server in this context?
Right, so an MCP, or Model Context Protocol server, is basically a way for an AI model to interact with external tools or local data sources safely. It allows the AI to pull in fresh context. LightLM had a feature that allowed administrators to preview or test a connection to one of these MCP servers before officially saving the configuration.
And the sources state that these preview endpoints accepted a full server configuration in the request body. That included the command, the arguments, and the environment fields used by something called the Sideo transport.
Yeah, the Sideo transport standard input and output is a method for the proxy to communicate directly with a local process. When the test endpoint received a configuration using Sideo, it didn't just passively ping a server, it actually spawned the command supplied by the user as a subprocess on the proxy host itself.
Wait, you're saying the preview feature just blindly executes whatever command is typed into the configuration request?
It does, and it runs it with the privileges of the proxy process itself. Now, originally, the developers designed this with the assumption that the preview endpoints were secured behind an authentication layer. They assumed only a trusted administrator with a valid proxy API key could even reach the preview feature to test a command.
Oh, assuming that only trusting people will access a hidden feature is always a dangerous game.
It's a massive risk. And in this case, security researchers at Horizon3.ai discovered that attackers didn't even need an authenticated key. They achieved this through vulnerability chaining.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Combining two separate, perhaps medium severity flaws to create one massive super exploit. How did they chain this?
They chained this LightLM command injection flaw with a completely different vulnerability. It's a bad host header validation bypass affecting a web framework called Starlet, which LightLM happens to use under the hood.
I need to stop you there for a second. What exactly is a bad host header bypass?
Think of web traffic like sending a piece of physical mail. The envelope has a tar address and a from address. In web terms, these are HTTP headers. The host header tells the receiving server which website the user is trying to reach.
Got it.
So a bad host bypass happens when an attacker manipulates that host header, essentially forging the return address on the envelope to trick the internal routing system into thinking the request is originating from a trusted internal source rather than an external attacker.
So they spoof the internal network. Starlet gets confused, looks at the forged envelope and says, oh, this request is coming from inside the house. I don't need to ask for a password.
That's exactly the mechanism. By chaining that Starlet validation bypass with the LittleM preview feature flaw, the attackers completely sidestep authentication. They achieve unauthenticated remote code execution against the AI proxy. They just walk right in and execute arbitrary commands on the server hosting the AI middleware.
That is terrifying, especially considering what a traffic cop like LittleM has access to. I mean, what is the blast radius when attacker gets remote code execution here?
The blast radius is massive. Remember, LittleM is holding the keys to the kingdom. Attackers can siphon all the model provider credentials, your expensive OpenAI and Anthropic keys.
Ouch.
Yeah. But worse, because this proxy is naturally connected to your broader internal network to function, attackers can use it as a beachhead. They establish a foothold on the AI server and then move laterally into your databases, your connected applications, and the rest of your infrastructure.
Wow. So we've seen how attackers exploit blind trust in the back end, taking advantage of companies rushing to deploy AI middleware. If your company is riding this AI wave, the takeaway here is urgent for you. You have to secure that middleware. Update LightLM to version 1.83.7 immediately, where those test endpoints now explicitly require an administrative role.
And ensure Starlet is updated to version 1.0.1.
Right. If you cannot patch today, you need to manually block those vulnerable test endpoints and rotate all of your proxy credentials immediately.
We spend so much time securing the main application and the database, we often forget the traffic cop in the middle.
Which brings us to our third source. We've talked about trusting the backend AI, and we've talked about trusting legacy utility software. But attackers apply that exact same logic to the front end. They exploit the one application we blindly trust to process untrusted code every second of the day, the web browser.
This bridges the gap perfectly. You can have the most secure AI backend in the world, and you can uninstall every old zip utility you have. But if the web browser your employee is using gets compromised, well, the attacker has a direct line into your corporate network.
And the browser in the crosshairs today is Google Chrome. Google just released security updates to address 74 different vulnerabilities. but one of them is a massive, actively exploited zero-day flaw. This is CVE-2026-11C45.
A zero-day, meaning the software vendor had 0 days of notice to fix it before attackers were already using it in the wild.
Right. And the technical description says this is a high-severity, out-of-bounds memory access flaw in V8. Now, I know V8 is Chrome's open-source engine that processes JavaScript and WebAssembly, but walk us through how a memory access issue actually results in a hacker taking over my browser.
We have to start with how browsers protect you. Modern browsers use something called a sandbox. It's a highly restricted, isolated environment where the code from a random website can run, display the web page, but it absolutely cannot touch the rest of your computer's memory or your operating system files.
Okay.
V8 is the engine doing the heavy lifting inside that sandbox.
So think of the sandbox like a bank teller behind bulletproof glass. They can process your transactions, they can talk to you, but they cannot physically touch the main vault in the back.
That's a perfect analogy. Now, memory in a computer is allocated in specific rigid chunks. The engine is only allowed to read and write data within its assigned area. An out-of-bounds memory access flaw means the V8 engine has a bug that accidentally allows a malicious program to read or write data outside the specific chunk of memory it was originally assigned.
So it's like the bank teller realizing there's a loose panel in the bulletproof glass, reaching her hand through it and unlocking the main vault on the inside.
Yes, exactly. By carefully crafting a malicious HTML page, a remote attacker can trick V8 into reading or writing in places it absolutely shouldn't. This memory corruption allows the attacker to break out of the sandbox and execute arbitrary code on the victim's machine.
Wait, just by loading a crafted HTML page, I don't even have to click a download button or open a shady attachment. I just visit a website and my machine is compromised?
Just by rendering the web page. The moment V8 processes the malicious JavaScript, the exploit triggers. That's why browser zero days are the absolute holy grail for attackers.
The sources note this flaw was discovered by a security researcher who goes by 303V06Neo63. And they were awarded a $55,000 bug bounty for reporting it to Google. But I have to push back a little on the reality of user behavior here.
Okay, sure.
With this latest patch, Google has now addressed 5 actively exploited Chrome 0 days since the start of this year alone. 5. And we are only halfway through the year.
Yeah, the pace of discovery is staggering.
Right. And Google acknowledged the exploit exists in the wild, but they purposefully withhold the deep technical specifics to give people time to patch. But considering what we just learned about WinRAR sitting unpatched for nearly a year, I mean, are people actually updating their browsers fast enough to beat these in-the-wild exploits? I know people who leave 40 tabs open for weeks on end just because they don't want to lose their reading list.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it really highlights the intense pressure of the zero-day economy. Browsers, and V8 specifically, are prime targets precisely because they are engines designed to process untrusted code constantly. Every single time you click a link, V8 is spinning up and parsing unknown data. The complexity required to make web apps feel as fast as native desktop apps breeds these incredibly complex memory bugs.
It's the cost of a fast internet, I guess.
It is. As for the update speed, browsers are actually one of the few places where auto-update mechanisms are highly effective. Chrome downloads the patch quietly in the background. But you're right about the human element. If a user refuses to restart their browser to apply that pending update, the new code doesn't load. They remain completely vulnerable. Attackers know there is a critical window of opportunity between when the patch drops and when the user finally decides to close those 40 tabs.
Update requires restart, the 3 most ignored words in modern computing.
And ignoring them leaves the front door wide open.
So your final takeaway for today's deep dive, do not wait. Update Chrome immediately to the latest version. And remember, this affects the V8 engine itself, which means any Chromium-based browser, Microsoft Edge, Brave, Vivaldi, they all share this engine and will need to be updated as soon as their specific vendors drop the fixes. Check your browser right now, force the restart, close the tabs. It takes 10 seconds.
You can always reopen the tabs. You can't uncompromise your machine.
That is a great rule to live by. All right, let's quickly recap the 3 core takeaways from today's sources for you. First, you need to aggressively hunt down those unpatched utility programs. Software like WinRAR can harbor vulnerabilities for months or even years, acting as a rusted backdoor for advanced persistent threats. Second, if your company is building out AI infrastructure, you must secure your middleware. Update LikeLM and Starlet immediately to prevent attackers from chaining vulnerabilities to bypass authentication. And third, secure the front door. ensure your organization is actively restarting and updating all Chromium-based browsers to patch the V8.0 day.
Those are the practical operational steps. But looking at all three of these stories together, this raises a much deeper question, something I think we all need to mull over long after this deep dive ends.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
As an industry, we are currently fighting a massive two-front war. On one side, we are pouring immense resources and talent into securing the AI revolution, worrying about complex vulnerability chains in bleeding-edge middleware like LaTelleM. We are focused on the future.
Right.
Yet, on the other side, sophisticated nation-state-aligned actors are still casually walking right through our networks using forgotten zip software from a decade ago. It really forces us to ask, is our biggest cybersecurity vulnerability a lack of advanced futuristic defense, or is it simply a lack of an accurate inventory of what we already own?
Wow, it's a brilliant point to leave on. You can't protect what you don't even know you have. The multi-million dollar AI fortress means absolutely nothing if you leave the rusted back door wide open. Thank you for joining us for today's deep dive. Stay curious, stay secure, and we'll catch you next time.